U.S.
You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Right, everybody. Sunday will never be the same. You know, we got so many emails after last week's show. One of the things we talk about quite regularly on this program is the intersection of Christianity and race and our issues and the issues we talk about on this program and how we believe that they are absolutely in sync with one another. Not that we hate anyone, not that we wish ill will towards anyone, but that we are of the Christian faith, at least those of us who host this radio program. And I appreciate if you're not, but we are, and we don't think that it at all conflicts with the other issues that we hold dear. And in fact, we are really the only game in town in this movement that comes at the issues from a pro-Christian perspective. There are a lot of other great organizations out there doing good work, but with regards to matters of faith, they are either trending towards neo-paganism or they are just your run-of-the-mill.
Typical intellectual... secular humanist in their approach.
Well, or agnostic, or atheist, whatever. They don't believe, as we do.
Well, they believe, but they basically do, intentionally don't bring Christianity into the conversation. We do.
And we think if it was good enough for Constantine and some of the other great titans of our people, it may be still good today. We know that without Christianity, Europe would have fallen many times over to the Muslims throughout its history. Christianity has saved our people before. It can do it again. But no sooner did we get off the air last Saturday night than it did come Sunday morning. And, you know, when I used to, I still go to church every week, but growing up, you know, I was blessed to have been born into a household that was a conservative Christian family. And I can remember going to church and hearing nothing but the Word of God. You know, I don't want to go in there and hear, you know, the kind of propaganda that we put forth on this radio program. I can get that other places. When I go to church, I want to go to church. But now you're getting watered down cultural Marxism. It's like the mainstream Christians are just about 10 years behind the radical leftists. And as the predecessors at these churches didn't go for interracial marriage, those who succeed, those in power now, will be on board with homosexual marriage. And anyway, one of the biggest Southern Baptist churches in the country, I won't say which one it is, but it's in Memphis and it's on Appling Road. But they had, and you can watch this sermon on their website, their pastor wrote out some prayers, had the entire congregation stand and read the prayers out loud. Now, if you think I'm exaggerating, please check it out. But they said they asked forgiveness for not just the sin, but the deplorable sin of racism. And we'll just stop right there and ask ourselves, what is racism? Is it, Keith, you talked about this.
Right. Now, this is the situation. Racism is not in the Bible anywhere. Racism is a new development. And the last verse of the Bible pronounces a curse that your name will be written out of the book of life if you so much as add a word or delete a word from this book. And they're talking about the entire Bible, not just the book of Revelation. So, consequently, what we have is the head of the Southern Baptist denomination bringing this curse upon himself by writing, doing something that Jesus had nothing to do with, and this is not anything that is in Orthodox Christianity's doctrine. It is a new development from liberalism. And the problem is that liberalism is the alternative faith for Christianity. And that's what's happening in these churches now. Everyone from the Pope has shown that he is basically an apostate priest. I hate to say that and offend some Catholics,
but he's done
that. Well,
Pat Buchanan wrote an article condemning what the Pope came over here to address in America. Pat Buchanan is a Roman Catholic.
And it used to be when, back in the 80s, I used to think that fundamentalist Christians, particularly fundamentalist Southern Christians, were going to be the faithful remnant, the salt and light. But now they are not only as sold out to the social gospel as mainline Christians and the Roman Catholic Church, they've added to it the heresy of Jewish dispensationalism.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
But see, all of this, let me just finish this up. Here's the situation. Racism was invented in 1935. It was a term invented in 1935 by a Jewish German communist to create a new term to vilify and marginalize defenders of the old order. It's still being used for that purpose today. Now, the Christian church ought to be standing up for us, because if you let's look into racism. Let's see. Let's do an analysis of this from a Christian standpoint. If by racism you mean you hate people because of their race, then that is inconsistent with loving thy neighbor, the golden rule. What Jesus said was a compilation of the law with the first commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So if you hate people because of their race, that isn't consistent with being a Christian. But the definition of racism has grown, metastasized like a cancer, since the 1950s.
And they're only applying it towards whites. We know that.
And
whites,
for example,
are the only people that can be guilty of it.
If you have if you're a white person with a sense of racial solidarity, you're a racist. Well, if having a sense of racial solidarity means that you or is inconsistent with being a good Christian, then basically the moderator of the Southern Baptist Convention, the Southern Baptist Pope, as it were, Russell Moore, and the Pope need to have a long, long talk with their black brethren in the clergy, because they see no inconsistency whatsoever with having a strong sense of racial solidarity and identity with their own race and being a good Christian. So let's stop playing Chinese baseball where they move the bases when the ball's in the air. Let's have the same principles apply to everyone. Let's have equality. That's what equality means. That's how the civil rights movement was sold to the American people and to the people worldwide. And you can see it was just an excuse. Right. This is just, you know, unfortunately, it's becoming more and more clear that liberalism isn't about equality at all. It's about demonizing and marginalizing white people. And that's what is being done now at all places at the Southern Baptist Convention and in the Roman Catholic Church.
A lot more coming up on this topic. This was a topic that got us an absolute deluge of email last week. And Eddie Miller, the bombardier, called Russell Moore, head of the Southern Baptist Convention. And we'll tell you how that went. Not in the next segment, but in the one after that. And Eddie's going to be on with us for the second half of the program in its entirety. A lot more to come on this topic. Stay tuned.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1,200-millimeter coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Searching, searching, every night and day, if we gotta keep on the run, follow the sun.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, folks, I'm going to filibuster here for about 3 or 4 minutes, then I'm going to toss it back over to Keith. But there's a few things I want to say here in one fell swoop. Number one, by no means, and in no way whatsoever, are we denigrating Christianity. We think that Christianity has been a positive force for our people. Our people were the ones who spread Christianity across the world. Without our people, Christianity would have never taken hold. I am a Christian. My faith is something that I don't have under a bushel. My faith is something that's very important to me and something that I'm very proud of. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he died and rose again. I believe it all. I think it's the way to go. But
and
I will tell you
this. Let me just say this real quickly. And there's nothing inconsistent with the positions we take on this show and true Christianity.
Well, I was just about to say, Keith, absolutely, that in addition to being a Christian, I am also very well aware of racial realities. And I accept them as truth, and I don't ever want to hide. What was Thomas Jefferson's quote about the truth, Keith?
He said that there is no truth for what I would want hidden from the public but would not proclaim, or something to that effect. It's in the masthead of American Renaissance's website, so look it up there for the exact
wording.
Well,
we could pull it up, but I mean,
but
everybody
see,
knows
the important thing
about.
Is this. Throughout the 2 millennium since the death of Christ, the alternative name for Europe was Christendom. It was the Christian part of the world. So Christianity is inextricably linked in the minds of the world with white people. In fact, groups like the Black Muslims are not Christian specifically because they see Christianity as a white man's religion.
And everybody can come to know Christ, and everybody can receive Christ's salvation. It's not even though whites were obviously the ones, Europeans
preserved
were the
it
ones
under stress.
Who preserved it and advanced it. Everybody can be receive salvation regardless of race, gender, etc. But that's not to say that certain racial realities don't exist in this world as we know them. And as a Christian, I also am very well aware of the concerns pertaining to Jewish power and influence. And we speak about those as well. And I will tell you this, despite being a Christian, I had the benefit of growing up in a conservative Christian home. If I had never been in that environment growing up and I was looking at Christianity today from the outside in and I was looking at these churches, there is no way I would ever join. There's just no way.
But we understand it's inauthentic Christianity
Well, it's watered down. I mean, I'll tell you exactly what I think it is in just a second, Keith, and I'll toss it over to you. But there's just no way that I would. But we must remember that there is a big disconnect, in some places more than others, but certainly a disconnect between the so-called leaders of these congregations and the rank-and-file membership, as is often the case in any organization. But this thing here, you see Russell Moore, who we were talking about, the leader of the Southern Baptist Convention. We're picking, not picking, but talking about the Southern Baptist because I'm a member of the Southern Baptist Church. It was once known as the most rigidly conservative of all of the Protestant denominations. Well, if you go to Russell Moore's website, and Eddie, of course, is a member of the Southern Baptist Church as well. If you go to the Russell Moore's website, he says that children should correct, listen to this, children should correct their parents if they oppose interracial marriage. And this whole thing, you know, I guess everybody that died before 1995 went straight to hell because it was in 1995 that the Southern Baptist Church put in their official platform that racism was not just a sin but a deplorable sin. And so I guess they just all went to hell. And this whole thing about interracial marriage, I guess you could argue certainly that you certainly don't lose your salvation if you marry interracially. Maybe you could argue that. But how is it a sin to have a preference? How is it a sin to have a preference?
Well, let me say this.
It's not. Yeah,
does Russell Moore really believe that he's a better Christian than his grandfather or his great-grandfather? Let me tell you, if he is, they must have been some really reprobates because there's no doubt that our ancestors were good Christians, particularly if your ancestors were in the Southern Baptist Church. For example, I guess that Russell Moore would condemn Adrian Rogers, who was one of his predecessors as the moderator of the Southern Baptist Convention. He was elected in the late 70s, early 80s as the conservative candidate against the so-called moderates, and he purged liberals from the Southern Baptist seminaries at the time. But as we say often on this show, liberals are like the devil. They're infinitely patient, and they never sleep. They hang around. They keep coming. They're like the Energizer Bunny, and they eventually prevail. Adrian Rogers would not marry an interracial couple in Bellevue Baptist Church. He said that he thought that was against God's plan and would not do that. So I guess he wants to denounce the basic founding father of the church that he's in, who is his sermons and his teachings are still on Christian radio everywhere under the Love Worth Finding ministry, which he does. And apparently, in the eyes of Russell Moore, he is a great sinner and needs to repent.
Well, here's the thing. They're moving 10 years. It's like the tail of a comet. They're moving just a couple of years behind the mainstream culture, whereas their predecessors thought that it was bad for the children to violate racial integrity, God's natural order, as Bill Rowland called it. So will the people who follow Russell Moore be in the tank with the homosexual movement. But here's the thing. I don't think it's a great big conspiracy. Peter Brimelow suggested that these people have sold out for money. I think it's probably much more simple. I think that they just desperately want people like Russell Moore and some of these pastors of the big churches, and not all churches, by the way, and certainly not all Christians, but some of these people we're talking about, they just want to be accepted by the world. They want to have an easy life. The pastor at Bellevue receives a $500,000 a year salary. He doesn't want to be called a racist. He doesn't want to be called a bigot. He doesn't want to be called a homophobe. So he's just going to basically trim the sails, go along to get along. And, you know, Russell Moore, you know, we've got pictures of him meeting with Obama. He writes articles for the New York Times. He appears on CNN out front with Aaron Burnett. He really likes that. Now, they may hate him, and they do hate him. But, you know, as long as he's not really having to pay a price and be inconvenienced, you know, he's just they are being the world is forming the Christian church rather than the Christian church going and having its influence be made known to the world. The world is adversely affecting the Christian church. They just want to be accepted. They want to have an easy road.
Russell Moore is just like that kid you knew in the seventh grade, the nerdy kid that wanted to fit in with the in crowd. He wanted to find out where they got their clothes. He watched what their speech patterns and mannerisms were, and he fell in line hoping that he would be like them. But it reminds me of the commercials back in the 70s of Charlie the Tuna for Starkist Tuna. Liberals like Starkist don't want conservatives with good taste. They want conservatives that taste good. They intend to devour us, okay? And that's what they, you know, that's what Russell Moore doesn't understand. They want to destroy him. Actually, it's Russell Moore that is committing the sin. He is violating the 10th commandment because he's coveting a flock that God has not chosen to give him. He wants to have this multiracial flock, but God has given him a flock that is predominantly white. And what he would do, what would happen? They say, "Be careful what you wish for; your dream may come true." If Russell Moore got his wish, and you suddenly had all these black people joining the Southern Baptist churches like Bellevue, what they would do, the first order of business would be to have a meeting and to vote the white pastor and the white associates out and replace them with people of color.
Which I don't find any fault with. I mean, I think that's...
But see, it would take a brain-dead liberal like Russell Moore or the Pope not to understand that. And see, our civilization is based on our European extraction. It's what we've said on this show from time immemorial. You cannot have a first world nation with a third world population.
And what about
a first world church with a third world congregation?
What about honor thy father and thy mother? You know, what about that? Well, okay, well, that's one of the Ten Commandments. That's a pretty big one. You know, these people are absolutely spitting on the grave. Russell Moore actually has written, you know, we've talked about this, that the Confederate flag and the Christian flag cannot coexist because the Confederate flag would set the Christian flag on fire as if the Confederate flag was some sort of a satanic anti-Christian flag. He writes about his ancestors were Confederate veterans. So what about honor your father and your mother? He is absolutely denigrating the memory. He is spitting on the graves. He is urinating on the graves of his ancestors.
And presuming that he's a better Christian than
them. Oh, he is a worm. He is a worm. Eddie called him. We'll tell you about that because Eddie's on deck next with Keith. Keith's still here with us and yours truly. A lot more to talk about on this topic. Stay tuned.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right. Other things that the congregation at this church in question were praying for out loud and in unison as they read from the pre-scripted prayer, they prayed for forgiveness for bringing Africans in bondage to America. I don't know how many people that were actually at that church participated in that, but they prayed for forgiveness for that, and they asked for forgiveness for the way their ancestors treated the Indians. You know, so this... you can't make it up, folks. This is what's going on in some of these churches today. And Eddie, you have been taking notes dutifully. You're loaded for bear on this. I ask that. I know you're passionate about this. Eddie is so passionate about this. Eddie, you got a great note from a young lady in Missouri who said that not all pastors are going for this. And she sent you a letter from a pastor who basically just said he's right in line with us on the issues and he's a proud and determined Christian. But before we get to any of that, you said last week, and it received a lot of feedback from our audience as to whether or not you would actually do it, that you were going to, not that they didn't think that you would, but certainly that they just wanted to hear an update after you did it, but that you were going to call Russell Moore, and if you didn't receive satisfaction in that call, you were going to go up and see him to confront him, not physically, not violently, but to have a man-to-man talk about these issues. You did call Russell Moore. You didn't speak to him. But tell us how it went.
Well, you know, I did call Russell Moore. I honored what I said. And it's not going to end there. I can guarantee you it doesn't end there with being stood up.
But tell us what happened before you get to what's
I called
next.
The Southern Baptist Convention in Nashville and talked to the secretary. And I asked to speak.
You called
to
his personal secretary.
Correct. And I asked to speak to Russell Moore. And she put me on hold and said, well, he was busy. He was in a meeting. And so I left a message on Russell Moore's personal phone. I told him who I was. I told him I'm a tithing member of a Southern Baptist Church here in Memphis, Tennessee, Macon Road Baptist Church here in Tennessee. I told them that my friend, who's the head host, that he is a tithing member of the Southern Baptist Church. I said, we want to talk to him. And I said, Russell Moore, you are going to see us one way or another. This is your chance. This is your choice.
You can you invite him on the show.
You can come on to the political cesspool. I invited him onto the show. You can come on and do an interview with us and speak your piece because we're Southern Baptists. We're tithing Southern Baptists, and you owe it to us. You're going to have to come on our show, or you're going to have to give us an audience in your office in Nashville, Tennessee. And I want to demand, absolutely demand you to apologize and retract the derogatory statements you've made to our ancestors here in the political cesspool. I have ancestors that were died, they bled, and fought for the Confederacy. So is James, probably. In fact, I know
Russell
Keith does,
Moore,
too.
Russell Moore says he Russell, has those ancestors. He just hates them. Apparently.
You have urinated on the graves of not only your ancestors, mine, too. I'm not going to do that, and I'm not going to put up with that.
And I have you said all this in the message.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. And I said, you're not going to escape. You cannot escape. We will come to your office. We will. And you know what? If you don't see us, we're going to raise so much stink outside your office. We're going to protest. We're going to carry flags. We're going to record the people coming by there. We're going to tell them we got this coward, the Southern Baptist Convention head up here, who will not grant an audience to two tithing Southern Baptist people to let us confront him for his sins.
You're not a reporter. You're not an editor at the New York Times. That he obviously appreciates those people who absolutely hate Christianity. Now, he will talk to them.
That's right.
He'll talk to Obama, who is the most anti-Christian president in American history. Like Keith says, he grins like a mule eating briars when he's sitting with Obama, but you're just a member of a Southern Baptist
Church. And I'd like to also add to that, President Obama is also the most friendly and most homosexual, gay, lesbian, transvestite president we've ever had. He thanks him every opportunity. He does the same thing with the Muslims. We see Russell Moore is in bed with the Muslim homosexual.
Right. You didn't say all that in the message, though. So how did you wrap up the message?
Yeah, I mean I was just commenting on what you said. But yeah,
You left your name. You left your number.
And people, I can guarantee double down to you that we're going to go to Nashville, and I want you people to send in emails right now Who do you want to go with me? Do you want to go James Edwards, or would you like our esteemed attorney right here in the intellectual? I think we named the esteemed up attorney to come up there, and we want to tape this so they can't lie and say we committed some kind of
ambush. This isn't a stunt. We're not going up there.
No, we're going to call the sucker on the carpet. We're going to make him come and fess up like men.
We want to have a man.
He's not up
talk.
Here with some worm, some worm homosexual tendencies president. He's up here with some men from the Southern Baptist. Keith's not Southern Baptist, but he's hardcore Christian. But people, let us know who you want to go with me, because I promise you, I'm going to go up there, and I can't promise you we can meet with him.
He hasn't called you back. Now that you called him on Tuesday,
that's right. He hasn't called us back, but we want to see him. We want to corner him. We're going to do whatever it takes to see him. I can't promise we can run him down. We can corner him. We may not be fast enough, but.
And people, look, I mean, if he's listening tonight, and if anybody's listening that's going to report this to him, it's
I hope
be,
you do.
I don't have a problem with that. What I'm saying is it's going to be a stern talk.
Report it.
We want to have a talk with him. We want it to be known we want to have a talk with him. If he won't call us back, we'll go up and wait at his office, and we're going to have a man-to-man talk. We're not going to do anything wrong to him, but we do want to have a talk with him.
Well, we certainly are going to talk about him, and we're going to talk about the direction in which he is misleading his particular branch of the Christian church. Now, this is a perfect example of Pat Buchanan's observation that the counterculture of the 1960s is the dominant culture of today, and the dominant culture of the 60s and 50s in America is the dissident culture of today. We're now the dissident culture of today, but our views line up perfectly with Adrian Rogers' views back in the 1970s and 80s.
And people outside of Memphis may not know who Adrian Rogers was.
But Adrian Rogers was probably the most prominent Southern Baptist. He was a predecessor to Russell Moore.
In recent history, right. He died in the early 2000s.
I noticed that my Southern Baptist friends, James and Eddie, assiduously avoid picking up on this lingo for me, but I call him the Southern Baptist Pope, because like the Pope, he's supposed to be the spiritual head of the Southern Baptist Church. But what he doesn't understand is that the Southern Baptist Church, being Protestant, is not a hierarchical organization like the Roman Catholic Church. He's not Father Moore, he is Brother Moore. In other words, he is first among equals, possibly, for the time being, but every Southern Baptist is on a par with him. No one has to go through him to speak to God.
Amen.
And as a result, you know, the foundational principles of Protestantism are sola scriptura and every man a priest.
Amen.
Now, sola scriptura is a great principle. It says, not the creeds or commentaries of man, only the Bible. Well, that's great, but if the Bible is going to be your source of authority, you've got to resist the temptation to rewrite the Bible every 10 years, which is what the fundamentalists have been doing over the past 70 years or so. There's always a new one coming out. King James is forgotten. It's thrown into the dust heap of history, along with the Geneva Bible, along with the Vulgate, and all of these old original Bibles. But the Bible says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And that the word of God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So, that being the case, basically, by trying to invent new sins and to write out of existence old ones like adultery and the prescription against homosexuality, which I'm sure Russell Moore is not preaching against or recommending that any Southern Baptist preachers preach against, he is becoming at one with the world. Jesus said we would be at odds with the world. You're not going to be popular in a worldly way if you are giving your first allegiance to God.
You know, it's interesting, Keith. I will give them credit for this. The Southern Baptists are still on the line with the homosexual issue, and by that I mean they are holding the line on that issue. But that's one of the very few that they're holding the line.
And they don't seem to want to talk about it
culture,
very much
but
anymore.
Give them 10 years. Give them 10 or 15 years and then check back in on them. They are desperately wanting to be accepted by the world.
They want to be in with the in crowd.
Let me say, I think I fumbled it maybe a moment ago. Rather than remaking the world in Christ's image, they are letting the world remake the church in its image. And I was talking to Eddie about this earlier, and I think I mentioned it to you as well, Keith. In Washington, D.C., just last week, you had the Values Voter Summit. It's a big Christian confab hosted by the Family Research Council, which is the biggest pro-Christian lobby in Washington. Most of the presidential
are on the Southern Poverty Law Center's hate watch list.
That's the point. That's the point. Is that they so want to be accepted by the media. They don't want any confrontation. They just want to be able to...
In fact, they actually suck up to these groups that hate them, and it doesn't matter what they do, they're still going to hate them.
When the press reported on this event, it was written, hate group, Family Research Council has confab in Washington. We'll talk more about that right after this.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils is an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you can take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free. F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, I'm going to say a couple of words here. We're going to toss it to Eddie, then toss it back to Keith for a final word from him for the night. Then Eddie and I will continue with this into the third hour, and then later on in the third hour, we're going to shift gears and talk about Warriors Ethic. Warriors Ethic, it's a very provocative piece that we posted. I say provocative. I mean, it's just a great piece is what it is. We're going to break that down before the end of the show tonight. But, you know, the thing we were talking about before the break, So you've got Tony Perkins, who's the head of the Family Research Council, the biggest pro-Christian lobby group in Washington. Now, he's completely as milquetoast as all of these other folks we've been talking about. And, you know, so desperately wants to be accepted by the media, by the people dominating the popular culture. And he gets dismissed by all major media, and certainly the Southern Poverty Law Center, our very good friends, as a hate group leader. And, well, frankly, it serves him right. So it's in the eyes of the media and these others, he's no different than us. The only difference is we have the integrity and self-respect to tell the truth, whereas he runs from the truth and still gets the same treatment. And my question is, why is it that the descendants of Christian Southerners, particularly white Christian Southerners, always have to be the one to offer concessions in order to bring about racial conciliation? Why can't the malcontents simply grow up? Why can't concessions be a two-way street instead of us giving? You can't give enough. But here's one more thing, and then to Eddie. You know, one of the things they said in this cult-like chant at this church we've been talking about last Sunday morning was that God would cure the sin of racism from America, and that everyone would realize that we are all one race. Now, with all due respect, no one can be foolish enough to believe that. Do you believe that there's no difference between a tiger and a lion? Do you believe there's no difference between a dog and a wolf? There are obviously differences that even the youngest of children can recognize between the races. That's not to say that once people from different races become a Christian, that we are not brothers and sisters in Christ. We are. I wish everyone would accept Christ. I wish that the Jews would accept Christ. I wish that the Muslims would accept Christ. I have no problem with that. But once they become Christians, that is not to say that just because they are Christians that we are sinful for maintaining a preference for people who share our culture and our heroes and our language and our way of life. There's nothing sinful about that at all. In fact, it's as natural as anything could possibly be. Sam Dixon, you know, as we enter into this age of the apostate church, the politically correct, watered-down church, it saddens me that the Marxist takeover of our institutions has seemingly been so complete. But Sam Dixon wrote this. It's a great rhetorical question. And this applies perfectly to people like Russell Moore. Could there be any victory more complete than to have the descendants of one's own defeated foes embrace the victor's principles and repudiate those of their ancestors? Eddie?
Well, we've covered so much. There's no way I can possibly cover what I would like to, so I'm going to kind of cherry pick here.
You're on in the third hour, too.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm going to kind of cherry pick here. I'd like to come back maybe to a slightly different view here. Let's go back to the difference in whites and blacks. And this is really kind of off the script of what I was going to do, but I'm going to put it out this way. I don't think any black that actually loves himself and loves his people would want to destroy his own race. You know, the black race, they do have some attributes. If you want a good, strong running back, it's going to be hard. You're going to have to be hard-pressed to go and find someone who's not black to be a great, strong running back, even though we do have good white running backs. But I'll give you an example of my church.
They have athletic prowess. They do have prowess.
I'm going to tell you what. Anybody that will admit the truth knows. If you go to the cradle of the black African civilization, which is in Africa, this has been proven every way, which way to sundown. The average IQ of an African black is about 60 to 65. If you came over here and you committed a crime, in some states, Georgia being one of them, if you're black, commits a murder, by law in the state of Georgia, you can't be tried and sentenced to death. You can't go to prison, you know, like a normal person would have to go, because they don't try and execute retarded people in the state of Georgia. There's other states like that. Okay, so the point I'm making is the IQ, the intelligence level of blacks is far below the average intelligence of white people.
That's provable.
That's just proven.
That's not to say that we hate them for that, but that's a fact.
And I will tell you this, and David Duke has said this, I'm sure everybody in this room agrees, I personally don't find blacks as physically attractive as I do whites. I prefer.
And again, that's just a matter of preference. Is that a sin? That's your preference. Some people may disagree. That's our preference.
We have a family in the church where I go to. I'm probably going to get really hot water for this. They have five girls ranging in age from 5 or 6 years old, as the oldest one, to the age of 15. Every one of them are the most physically beautiful creatures God has ever made. Very well behaved. Every one of them, they're intelligent. They make good grades. They're athletic. They're the most beautiful creatures you've ever seen. The 15-year-old girl could be Miss America when she's 18, however old they have to be. Nobody, no parent in their right mind would want to have their beautiful blue-eyed blonde,
adult,
120, 130 IQ white girl marry a 65-year-old black. That's insane. You're not going to do that. You just wouldn't do that. What you're going to do, you're going to destroy both races.
The irony.
James like to say this. James always says, why would he want to trade down? Why would any parent want to trade down and sacrifice a beautiful, white, blue-eyed, blonde daughter making straight A's, a great athlete? Why would they want to destroy that?
This is the irony.
Why would the blacks, and if the blacks love themselves so much, why are you so on fire to breed with the white people? I asked you that. And I'm going to pass this mic over to my brother Keith right here.
The irony is, and Keith, the final word to you before this segment, much more from Eddie in the third hour. The irony is, despite being dismissed erroneously as haters, we actually, what we're saying we want preserves the different races. It preserves diversity.
Right. The left pretends to teach tolerance. That's what the SPLC has a program for, and to celebrate diversity. Well, they're the most intolerant people in the world when it comes to a differing viewpoint on issues that are part of the catechism of liberalism, on issues like race, for example, or Jewish power and influence, or on any number of liberal initiatives, radical egalitarian initiatives, feminism, homosexual rights, climate change, all of these other things. If you have a varying opinion on any of those things, then you are cast into the outer darkness by liberals. They do not celebrate diversity. They are not tolerant. They're intolerant, and they want cultural and racial homogeneity. They want us all to blend together and become more like them. And they are the enemies of classical liberalism. They do not want freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of association. All the things that are enshrined in our Constitution are an anathema to them. They don't want any of that. They, through the cultural Marxist technique of the long march through the institutions, have taken over all the churches, at least at denominational headquarters. And you're going to see R.L. Dabney's famous observations come to life more and more as time passes. R.L. Dabney was a Presbyterian divine, the president of Hampton Sidney College in Virginia, and the personal chaplain to General Stonewall Jackson in the Confederate Army.
Do you think that there's a Christian in the Southern Baptist leadership today that is a more
righteous
Christian than Stonewall Jackson?
No, or R.L. Dabney. R.L. Dabney was asked in the 1870s about the big liberal crusade of the day, which was women's suffrage, vote for women. He was asked whether he thought women's suffrage would ever come to pass. His reply surprised people. He said, yes, indeed, it will come to pass, not because of any inherent virtue or value in the position of those advocating women's suffrage, the liberals of his day, but the inherent weakness of modern conservatism. He said that since the Civil War, no conservative wants to martyr himself, and that these people that are carrying the banner for conservatism are basically akin to a sparring partner for a heavyweight boxing champion. They're there to keep the champ in shape, but they're chosen because there's little or no chance that they're going to knock the champ out. He said that after women's suffrage becomes a reality, modern conservatives will pat themselves on the back and say, if it were not for our heroic efforts, we'd be saddled with the much greater evil of children's suffrage. And he said, and then later on, when children's suffrage becomes a reality, they will again pat themselves on the back and say that if it were not for their efforts, we'd be saddled with the consequences of the even greater calamity of animal suffrage. That's the way mainstream conservatives work. They are basically in the employ, paid for, and in the thrall of the left. The left controls it all. They're the new establishment. They dispense the goodies and also the punishments that modern society has to offer through enforcement of its rubric, which is political correctness. Now, we've got to understand that now denominational headquarters at whatever church you go to is probably enemy-held territory. What can you do about that? Well, if you belong to a good Bible-believing church that doesn't go along with all of that, you need to ask them to de-affiliate with the denominational headquarters.
Or start home churching, or listen to Ted Pike's old sermon.
Right, right. Or Jesse Lee Peterson's, or Brother Nathaniel Campbell.
We got to take a break. Thank you, Keith. Eddie the Bombardier Miller on deck for the entire third hour.
Right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.